You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of every single Premier League match week. I'm Robbie Musto and he's Robbie Earle. And yes, we are back. After a little summer break and then covering the Olympics, we are back in full-on Premier League mode, ready to preview the upcoming season. Elstra and I have you covered with everything you need to know before the 2021-22 campaign kicks off on Friday.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, my friend. Lovely to see you. Lovely to see
you. Good to be back, my friend.
I've missed you.
Back.
Absolutely good to be back.
And I've had to talk to the wife for the last 3 months. So I'm glad to get Mr. Musto back in my life. And I think this pod's one of those, Rob, where there's so many exciting storylines, backstories, possible good form, possible bad form, possible don't quite know what to expect form, that it's almost like we need to section the table off into maybe the top four teams, which I think we all have a feel who and what those will be. Maybe the next level of team down, those that are going to maybe crack into that, you know, those two places below the top four. And then it's almost about best of the rest, isn't it? I mean, from there on in, isn't it hard to say who might finish eighth in the table and who might finish 18th? I mean, there's just so many clubs that could fit either of those spaces.
Yeah. So let's do it this way, Rob. Let's do it in sense of, let's have five, I think we've got five burning topics, big questions going into this season, all right? And let's start right at the top. Question number one I've got is, can anyone challenge Manchester City for the title this season? Go, Robbie.
That's the question.
That's the first question. Question number one.
I haven't spoken to you for 3 months. Yes, is the answer. Yes, Robbie Musto. Because the chasing pack have got stronger. The chasing pack will be better. If Manchester City, who had a poor start last season, actually, didn't have get off to, I think it was 12 points from a possible 24, and then went on that incredible run after the 0-0 draw with West Bromwich Albion, where they went unbeaten, I think, 21 games, all competitions, and 15 straight in the Premier League, and pretty much done it, had it won then. If Manchester City don't start in the same manner and don't start with the right focus, we've seen teams win the league, Rob, off good starts. Liverpool did it, got off to a great start, and the momentum kept going. I think this year, if you've got any real ambition, I'm talking about United, I'm talking about Liverpool, I'm talking about Chelsea, because those are the three teams I feel are going to chase it. If they get off to good starts and Man City don't, they've all got deep enough squads that they might be able to see this thing through.
Yeah, I mean, I think from last season, Rob, City didn't start well, but were able to get back and dominate the league. I think I agree with you, mate. I think it's absolutely right. Also, important thing to remember, Rob, is that Phil Foden and I think Kevin De Bruyne are not going to be ready to start the season. So in the same, and I think we're going to see this, and everybody should be ready for the first week or two, Rob, of players coming back from tournaments and this, the travel and the quarantine and et cetera. You're not going to see the very best teams immediately. But back to the point, you know, it's still important that these big teams that want to win the Premier League get off to a good start and a flying start, because I think you're right. I think we're going to see a title race. And we say it, we do say it quite a bit, mate, but when you think of the four teams, and we'll get into them over the course of this podcast and, of course, subsequent podcasts, the four biggies at the top are really geared up. They're really geared up to win it, and they've strengthened, and it's fascinating. But let's focus on Man City, Rob, and what they've done in the because big news, big news, big news, big news about Man City and Pep Guardiola. First of all, the disappointment of the Champions League loss right at the end there against Chelsea, and the thought of, okay, let's spend. Jack Grealish is a superb player. Obviously, is going to enhance this squad. I'm going to cut to a thing that I'm thinking, Rob, and I want to get your take on it, right?
Yeah.
There's no point. We know all about Jack Grealish, and our listeners know all about Jack Grealish. I just want to ask this, and I've been thinking about it a little bit. Do they really need Jack Grealish, Robbie? Is this a luxury for Pep? Pep obviously loves him as a player. Between Phil Foden, Bernardo Silva, Raheem Sterling, Riyad Mahrez, and I know he's a superb player and he will make them back, but did they really need him? And I know they're going for Harry Kane, but we'll get on to. Yeah. Would have been better, Rob, to prioritise Harry Kane and maybe pay that little bit extra money that Daniel Levy wants? Would Kane have, and I think Kane will make a bigger impact to this club than Jack Grealish will in terms of titles and winning things? Should they have prioritised Kane, and do they really need Jack Grealish?
Good question. £100 million, so I don't know, somewhere in the region of $130 million for Jack Grealish. People are saying it's a record British transfer. It is too much. What I would say, Rob, is if Pep Guardiola brings Jack Grealish under his tutelage and develops him into the player that he could be, it's great business. He's done it with Raheem Sterling, Rob. He's done it with Phil Foden, he's developed. He's done it with Kevin De Bruyne, took him to another. If he can take Jack Grealish to another level, where Jack Grealish becomes... And I was talking to a friend about this, and they're different players, so take what I'm saying, but Jack Grealish could have the effect on City that Kevin De Bruyne does. But he does it in a different way. Now, he's a dribbler. He encourages challenges. He wins free kicks. He's clever with his body movement. But I think there's another level for Jack Grealish of playing at top level with top players where you've got to put it in every week. That's what I'm not sure if Pep can get. If Pep gets that, good business, and I think a massive asset for Manchester City.
I think when you talk about improvement, Rob, I haven't got the actual numbers to hand here, but his goals weren't great. You know, I'm thinking single figures for Premier League last year. That's an area where that's the improvement that you're talking about, Rob. Mm. More production.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he drummed that into Raheem Sterling. You're seeing it with Phil Foden. We know how important goals are in midfield.
Mahrez has chipped in with goals.
So I sense that you're more...
I'm okay with it, Rob. I'm waiting to see.
Of course, I'm okay with it.
It might be an indulgence, but I hear your point. But I just think if he can take Jack Grealish up to the level we're talking about, where he's commanding games, where he's scoring goals, where he's assisting, where he's playing people through, and all those things, I think it might be good business.
Where does he play?
And where do I play him off the left hand side?
So where's Phil Foden playing? Where's Sterling playing?
Well, Foden might play as one of my next to the holding midfield players, one of my two eights, if that's the role, or he can play off the right. Or listen, this is Manchester City. We're in four competitions. We've got plenty of games coming up thick and fast. There'll be enough games and enough roles for people. And under Pep, at times, you have to be good off the bench. You have to be good with your attitude. The other one interests me, Robbie Musto, and I know we can't talk about things that haven't happened, but the big story over the summer was... Harry Kane. Telling Tottenham he doesn't want to stay. We know Manchester City want him. We know they want to play the kind of money we're talking. Rob, if Man City land Harry Kane, should the other three even bother?
Not really. And it pains me to say it. I mean, if they get Kane as well, my goodness, because we know he guarantees goals in games where they really need that. Against teams that bunker in, he can score different types of goals. So, yeah, obviously they're trying to get him. Daniel Levy's playing hardball, which I get, but I still think, you know, I'm sure there'll be a point, Rob, where we talk about Spurs, but, like,
yeah.
Move on, sell him. He wants to go. You're going to get over £100 million. Like, it's not doing Nuno Espirito Santo, the new manager, any favours. It's not doing his teammates any favours, Rob. It's not helping preparation for the new season. The money that might come in, they won't have much time to spend it, Robbie Earl, in the transfer window if they wait and wait and wait and play hardball and hardball to the end. Now, I might be wrong. And Levy might say, you know what, he's not going. I don't care what we've had, the conversation we've had. And what, you know, 120, 30, I want £150 million or he's not going. He might be a Spurs player next season, Robbie Earl. But again, not going down the Spurs
one. Yeah, you sense an unhappy one, but he might be. Listen, Harry signed a big contract that he's tied to 3 or 4 years, and Spurs might say, you've signed a contract, you've got to stay. It's interesting, though, Rob, that, you know, for all that we talk about, and, you know, my feeling for this player, 260 goals have gone out of that football club, by the way. 184 Premier League goals have gone out of that football club with a certain Mr. Aguero no longer there. There's no reliance now on that. That's gone. Gabriel Jesus has still got something to show. If Harry Kane doesn't come in the door, and they don't do striker business, now we might be talking a challenge. We might be talking where another 20 goals going to come through this
totally,
team.
Totally agree, Rob. Ilkay Gundogan, does he need to be the top goal scorer again? Maybe Jack Grealish.
Can he be the top goal? Was that one-off seasons that people have, so. Like things drop for him, he has moments, and then he'll go back to 4 or 5?
Yeah, I just think, you know, again, it's way early yet. But my initial kind of gut feeling is we know, Rob, how hard it is to retain this Premier League title. We know how hard it is. We know the blimmin' crazy motivation they're going to have to win the Champions League. I just think right now, if they don't get Harry Kane over the line this summer window, I think others are going to overcome them. And I know they're better with Grealish. And I understand your point about they can get to a new level, him personally, and maybe with a team. I just think the strength of the others that we're going to go and talk about in a second, you know, I think they need another striker. I'm not sure midfield players can continue to do it. I could be totally wrong, and City might win it again. But that's my gut feeling right now.
And I just want to throw one more in there just before we move and talk about who are the biggest challenges to City is... If you get Kane, if you don't, maybe there's a slightly different argument. But we're starting to get the point, Rob, where the greatest manager in the world has not landed the trophy that he was supposed to land, the Champions League. He's got to a final, Rob, and everybody said, oh, it's done and dusty. And he messed up. He messed up. He played a false nine. He didn't play a holding midfield player, and they got beat. And if he starts amassing the kind of squad that he's got, the kind of money that he spent... And in the 10 years of dominance and 5 Premier League titles and League Cups and FA Cups, he doesn't land the big trophy. There'll be a question mark, Robin Musser. There'll be an asterisk. The people who don't like Pep will have reason to have an argument.
Yeah, Barcelona 2011, the last time we won the Champions League, Rob. And that's a long time with great teams.
Yeah.
And the final, and we don't need to go there, with the decision-making, the overthinking, the messing it up. Yeah, the squad that's coming into that club, I think you're right. And I think the 4 big boys that we're going to talk about quickly here, who I think the champion is going to come from the 4, whoever doesn't finish in the top 4 is the manager's under pressure, whoever it is. Whoever it is. And that's what makes this season a fantastic top 4 title challenge because of what's happened this summer, because of what's happened last season. And let's get into that, Rob. Let's get into the first... other club, Manchester United, Robbie Earle. Yes, they're the next ones we're going to talk about. Yes, and I don't think I need to remind our listeners and viewers of what happened this summer, but Jadon Sancho, they finally got their man and finally got a real talent to play on the right side of their midfield, an area of the team that's being like the ugly stepchild, mate. Nobody's really wanted to play there, apart from Dan James, but they've got him. And, of course, Rafa Varane. I think he's almost done it. Is it still medicals and quarantining?
Yeah, I think he's pretty much done. I think, yeah, he's quarantining. I think just got back to training. So is that the missing piece he's Robbie Musto? Are we now saying Manchester United title contenders? Is that what you're trying to
say? Oh, definitely.
I still don't
quite think so, right? But they probably... This squad, I would say, right, and we'll get onto it, but this squad is a title-winning squad, Rob, isn't it? Now, in an ideal world, Man United fans might... Okay, so in an ideal world, they might want another classy central midfield player.
Correct.
And maybe, we're not sure Cavani, with his age, is going to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you go through the side, Rob, there's some pretty great options everywhere. Like international world-class players in midfield and in wide areas, with Cavani and Bruno Fernandes. I think every unit is
title-worthy, every unit. Although, I would say, let's sort the goalkeeper out, but let's say it's De Gea that starts. Back four unit with Wan-Bissaka. I know they're looking at Trippier. With Varane, I'm okay. Luke Shaw's stepped up, gone to another level. Maguire, similar.
Yeah, it's really good.
Let me go ahead of them to your attacking three, possibly, or with your Bruno, with your Rashford, with your Sancho, with your Greenwood, with Martial and Cavani up top. All good.
Yeah.
Holding midfield players, if I'm playing a 4-2-3-1, Robbie Musto, not good enough. The holding midfield players don't get in any of the other top four teams. Nowhere near.
I'm just going to interrupt you. What if you played one of them, and I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
One of them.
Yeah.
McTominay.
Yeah.
And with Pogba.
Am I going to get the season's work? Well, we're going to be... this is pod content. Pogba next to a holding. Oh, he doesn't hold. Oh, he doesn't know how to defend. Oh. So that's where it's slightly unbalanced. And when you've got Pogba and Bruno, I'm hearing some people say, well, could we do a 4-3-3? One holder with those two. To win the title, you've got to have that intensity in midfield, that working off the ball, that pressing, that other stuff that comes, not just your goals. That's the bit that worries me for Manchester United.
Mm. Yeah, it is. But I would say, Rob, and I can't think of an example right now, two getters in the middle of the park with a ton of talent around it. I hear you because I was thinking of
N'Golo Kanté, Danny Drinkwater at Leicester and that.
Yeah, there you go.
Before they won it, they weren't stars, but they found the way and they got
the
things. Yeah. I just don't know. Manchester United, don't know. To me, Rob, and again, I know we're talking about my thingy. If I could plug Declan Rice in there, if I could plug Calvin Phillips in there, if I could plug Yves Bissouma in there, and Wilfred Ndidi, let's go grab a title, and that might be the next stage.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking as well, like, again, why I'm still not sold that they can win it, and I'm sorry to go over old ground, it's the manager. And I was thinking, you know, actually this morning, when you think of the Premier League champion managers, Robbie Earle, there's a difference. There's a nasty, forcing, pushing, driven, fear factor streak in all these guys. And Jose Mourinho pushes his team over the line. Sir Alex Ferguson, of course. Antonio Conte, Jurgen Klopp. You know, Pep Guardiola, drive. Is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer capable, Rob, of going second to first, like the Europa League final? He couldn't get them over the line.
Yeah, I know. The Europa League is a worry. And if they don't win a title, this team needs to win something, by the way. This group needs to win some silverware.
Ready to win.
But I would say Claudio Ranieri would be... You know, he had his ways, he had his isms, but he found a way with his team that had drive and had a real hot
but, and I don't know what saying, I don't know about Ranieri. I don't know about Ranieri. But at times, I think behind, you know, away from the camera, I think.
Yeah, and I wonder if behind the scenes, maybe Ollie's got a bit of that. He doesn't have to show it. You don't have to just shake your fist and that. You could do it in your own way. So I'm going to give him a little bit more leeway on that one. But we're getting to the point, Rob, where he's got to start to deliver. When he's starting to spend the money that he is, when he's been back now as a Manchester United manager, when we're not questioning, is Ollie the guy or not? He's a man in charge. He's been backed with the kind of players he wants. Now it's time to start delivering.
Yeah, and an important thing to mention here, and I want to mention it, is that we must remember Jurgen Klopp, Rob. He lost a lot of finals. You know, there was questions about Jurgen Klopp when he got to finals and they were losing. That was on the way to winning. And Man United fans might listen to this and say, you know what, we're on the way to winning. And the players that have dropped in, again, big money, big time players. I tell you, good signings. And it's one thing that's happened really well over the span of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the signings, and they've sorted out. And every, you know, almost everyone has been very useful. And in Varane, world class defender, Rob, world class defender in his peak.
I have the argument: is Varane there? Van Dijk, is he the piece that cements a lot of other things all around the football club?
Well, that's the other thing, Rob. Van Dijk goes to Liverpool, centre-back, they win.
Yeah.
Ruben Diaz, centre-back, goes to Man City, they win. Is this the United part of it? So absolutely, they are in it. They are really, really in the title race, and it's going to be fascinating to see how we go.
So Virgil van Dijk, we believe, is back fit. Certainly, he's back training. Not sure how much match time he's had in the friendlies, but back. Joe Gomez is back. Joel Matip is back. Yep. And I believe Ibrahim Konate is now part of the back four as well. I mean, that's going from struggling to category B minus to having your A plus guys back there plus one, and should make Liverpool better, Rob. Should get Liverpool closer.
Yeah, I mean, they're, of course, Jorginho Wijnaldum left the football club, so that's you know, gone to PSG. They've not got a bad team, have they? PSG, their team's not bad. Anyway, but Konate is an exciting-looking player, Rob. Looked a lot of video of him, a lot of clips of him, and he looks, wow. I mean, he looks really, really good. He looks, you know, very composed on the ball, brings it out, looks a million bucks. No question, the starting 11 for Liverpool is brilliant. Brilliant starting 11, particularly with everybody fit. Of course, it's going to be different. I think the concern, a couple of concerns for Liverpool, first of all, they don't get too many injuries. I think when we consider the other squads, Rob, and the players they've got and the size and the depth of the squads, Liverpool's, for me, talk about Shaqiri going, you know, Origi, you know, maybe Milner comes into to certain places. I don't think the squad, Nico Williams, the squad isn't as good. But if they stay fit, and it should be easier without so many games pushed together like last year's COVID-congested season, they can have a run as well. And I'm assuming that you like some Mo Salah, Sadio Mane, Bobby Firmino, right? And the manager and the whole team are ready to, you know what I'm going to say, Steven Gerrard. Are they ready to go again? Because they don't owe it to anybody, but I think the Liverpool fans are like, okay, can we regroup and go again? Can we? From the manager to the players to those goal scorers, because if everybody's fit, again, with that 11 that play to their best, it's still a very, very good team.
And there's a couple of points that I wanted to bring up off that. My worry with Genie going, and it's a worry that was there while he was there, but even more so now he's gone, goals from midfield, Rob. There isn't a look where I think there's anybody 8 to 10 goals from midfield.
They've never had that.
That's something you might need to add to your group, Rob, because as we've seen, if those front three... And I'm going to add Diogo Jota in there because it's a front four now. Yeah. And he was a big miss last season.
Yeah,
but he's fit. So that gives me all different kind of options. Yeah. I can play in a different way. And it does give me a little bit of depth and maybe can rest. The question I was going to ask, Rob, and I was trying to think about it in a kind of sort of mature way. Have we seen like a front three like this front three who've been outstanding for probably 5 years? As they've come together, and Mo Salah has been the goal scorer, and Mane and Firmino have all done their part. Have we seen a three stay together this long without, you know, generally a manager changes the chemistry, doesn't he? Ticks one out, and then we see a bit different, or changes a winger or a wide player, or is there a chemistry little thing about
too much, Rob? Are you thinking too much together?
Yeah, can you spend too much together? Teams get to know, can it become a little bit samey?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? I just wondered whether there was a way that we sold one and we got one in of similar quality, but it brings a different chemistry.
Yeah, I think obviously the Jota thing is something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Maybe Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp might think of a different way of playing, Rob. You know, yeah, I think people have got used to
4-2-3-1, haven't they?
Yeah, they've got a few different ways of doing it. Yeah. I do think, and there's still time in the window, and of course we're recording this when there's a few weeks of the window left. I would say another attacking player would be a really interesting boost to the squad. But I think you know, sometimes, and they, of course they've made, you know, one in Ibrahima Konate, the defender. From RB Leipzig, but I think another attacking player would be good. I just, you know, it doesn't look like they've got the money to spend like some of the other ones are spending right now. I just think the point is with them, again, they are in it for me. They're
in it. Yeah. I think it's such an important thing that, and the point I want to make, that the defenders being back, and I didn't realise the point, and Danny Higginbottom's drew on it a couple of times, is that when that midfield can press properly with Fabinho and with Henderson and they can play the game, Liverpool are a different team because they can kick the game in your half. They can play in intensity. They can put a kind of a thing on you. Because
at
the back as well, yeah, we're quite prepared to go one-on-one and we've got decent ass. When Henderson or Fabinho were in the back four and they didn't have that legs in midfield and they couldn't keep teams, they were more exposed. And I just think those people coming in at the back just helps that midfield, which allows them then to go and do what they do best at the top end of the pitch.
Maybe we'll see a Fabinho, a Henderson, and a Thiago in midfield.
Yeah. They played together last season.
Is that all it was?
One game.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's got a little bit of blend of all things in midfield.
Yeah.
I'm sure Liverpool aren't going to be that much different. It's just they're back to full strength. Mm. And I think Van Dijk has been playing, Rob, as he pre-season. I don't know whether he might not.
Not sure whether he'd be ready to start. Yeah. And that might be a good thing. The other thing I just think with that football club, just quickly on that, Rob, it looks like, again, we went to Liverpool the year before they won the title and we were at training ground and that. Looks like there's a bit of mojo back. The manager looks happy. I thought he was exhausted at Piers last season. All that was going on with COVID, I think he had problems, his mother, his injuries, his team not playing so well. Just think he's revitalised and he comes again. And when he comes, Rob, his team's coming with him.
Yeah, and, you know, a quick, successful start for Liverpool with fans back at Anfield and them getting some momentum could be a really interesting season for Liverpool as well.
Let's talk about a possible dark horse to win it for me, Robbie Musto. Chelsea Football Club. We're in the habit, a little bit unlike, let's say, Ollie at the moment. They're in the habit of winning things. We've seen today, just before we got on the podcast, they played in the Super Cup against Villarreal, who obviously beat Manchester United in the Europa League final. They go 1-0 up. They concede a bit sloppily, go to 1-1. It ends up in penalty kicks. Really interesting as we get to after extra time, penalty kicks, that the manager changes Edward Mendy
2 minutes from the end, wouldn't it?
Kepa to go in the thing. The first time Kepa has to deal with anything in the game is the penalty kicks. Kepa comes up, makes a save in the end. Chelsea win the cup. This guy's all business, my friend. This guy's about winning. And people talked about whether PSG can be abrasive, been difficult, not getting the ownership group. I like him. In fact, I love him. I think it's brilliant for the game. I think it's brilliant for Chelsea. I heard him today. One of the reporters asked him before the game about, you know, the match and the importance and that. And he said, yeah, every game's important. And he said, you know, I take it serious. He said, and my players better take it serious. This guy ain't for messing around, mate.
But back to my point, Rob, 5 minutes ago. He's a driver. He's a pusher. He's a winner. He'll push it. I looked at him in the huddle, Rob, of the penalties, and he was like this. He's telling them, obviously we can't see what he's, but everybody's transfixed what he's saying. He's got that fire to push his team, and that's what, you know, I think is important. The team in the Super Cup final was very different, and again, like people are coming back, et cetera, et cetera. The team would, but that Chelsea team, it's a deep squad, Rob. To win the Champions League, they finished fourth, by the way. They kind of scraped in, didn't they? They kind of scraped in a little bit. But let's go over the transfer dealings as we see it right now, Rob. And people that have left the club, Olivier Giroud. There's talk about Tammy Abraham going to Roma. Not done yet. He's involved in the Super Cup today. Billy Gilmore's gone on loan to Norwich City, which is probably good for Gilmore.
Yeah, for both parties,
And then, of course, on the other side of it, incomings. It looks like Romelu Lukaku, Robbie, is going to sign from or after two excellent seasons in Serie A with Inter Milan. It looks like he's just going through the medical stuff right now and different parts of the medical. It looks like he's going to be just short, 90-odd million pounds to bring him back to the club that he didn't really, with Didier Drogba being there, reach his full potential. Obviously, he went on, other than that, to Everton and Manchester United, that didn't seem so bothered to sell him to Inter Milan, and now he's come back to Chelsea on the brink of it. I get a feeling you're thinking like me, my friend, where this is such a great signing, given...
Brilliant signing.
Not just what, but how he differs from everybody else, Rob.
Yeah,
we know he's a great centre forward and a world class centre forward. And he's scored goals everywhere, even at Man United. But he's so different. And when you put him at the focal point with all those number 10s, that creativity, the options, I mean, I tell you, big time.
And I think it's important to say he's a different Lukaku than we've seen in the Premier League. You start looking into things.
Yeah.
I think 64 goals he scored in his two seasons in Italy. He had 11 assists last season from open play. He apparently obviously likes to drift out to that right hand side at times, and it allows space for those number 10s to run in. His build up play is better. He joins people in. He wants to be part more of a footballer. He works at his game. He's 28 years of age. He's got something to prove. He said he's got unfinished business. I just think it's plug in and play. What I say, Mussie, you know, I love that one with him. He's a plug in and play guy. What I would say is, I think he has a chance to be the Golden Boot winner because this team creates so many chances.
My worry is,
oh, we've got the goal scorer now, and everybody else still got to do your bit. Mason Mount's got to get more goals than he does. He's a good player. Kai Havertz scores important goals, got to get more than he does. Timo Werner has got to get double. Everybody else can't relax because we've got the centre forward in, Rob. They've still got to keep getting goals from other areas of the pitch, those wide players, those number 10s. And that's just as important as getting the guy at the top of the pitch.
I tell you what, of course, in terms of ways of scoring goals, we know that Lukaku's going to help when Chelsea dominate, which they do a lot. Yeah. They do a lot, and that's going to make a big difference. I've got to say, though, when Chelsea do need to defend, I remember thinking and watching Lukaku really closely when he was at Everton, Robert. I think we did some analysis of him. Can you imagine what Chelsea are going to be like on the counter-attack?
Yeah.
Because Lukaku comes alive on a counter-attack because he loves to run in behind. Correct. And you've got Timo Werner and Lukaku on the counter-attack.
Maybe splitting those same, one left side, one right side.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, really...
Yeah.
Potentially great for them when there are games when they play on a counter-attack. But again, most of the time, they'll dominate. And I'm not a big fan of these new age kind of stats, Rob, but I did look at some expected goals with Chelsea and the difference between actual goals.
Yeah.
And there's kind of a bit, it's like, they're creating a lot of great
chances. Their expected goals are more than their actual goals,
which is really
unheard of for a big team.
We're creating good chances. We're not scoring
the goals. Yeah.
This is what he's good at, isn't it? He gets his numbers of goals. So, yeah, I mean, I think the only thing, Rob, the Erling Haaland rumours about Chelsea going for him, the Dortmund striker, of course, that everybody wants.
Yeah.
Maybe they've had a steer from him or his people that Chelsea wouldn't be his preferred option and they've gone for Lukaku. Because, maybe. You know, I 2 months ago, I think we're thinking Chelsea are going to go all out to get Haaland. And he would be the best option on the planet for the team. For me, he would still be the best option, but maybe they've got a steer. It's not going to happen. Lukaku's the next best. Bring him in.
Wanted to come. Unfinished business in the Premier League. I think it's great business. Great business all around. Well, it's interesting what we think, but we've had our friends at PointsBet Sportsbook have a look at the odds to win the Premier League title. And it goes, my friend, in this order. Manchester City, -150. Chelsea plus 500, Liverpool plus 500, Manchester United plus 800. So many people
good value. Yeah, that's
good value. I mean, in United for me, by the way.
Really good value in United.
Yeah.
Well, they're all good value. I just think Chelsea at plus 500 is good value. Maybe these odds, Robbie Earl, at minus 150, is thinking that Harry Kane's going
to
go.
Harry Kane goes. Yeah, I wonder by the time we get to the end of the window, the end of this month, whether those odds will change a little bit. Yeah. 150.
Yeah. But it's good value.
I think it's going to be closer. I think it's going to be a bit closer than they think at the moment.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, if people want to jump on now and take some of those odds, that's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
I think. Particularly for me, particularly for Chelsea and
Manchester United. United get off to a good start, plus 800, I tell you. If they get momentum going, Manchester United, with the fans and with all the what we got going,
I know.
It could be interesting, my friend.
I know.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Want the same expert advice you get from the pros in the store while shopping online at DiscountTire.com? Meet Treadwell, your personal online tire guide that matches you with the perfect tire for your vehicle. Get your best match in 1 minute or less with Treadwell by Discount Tire.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
All right, on to question number two, Robbie Earl.
Question two, that was a long question one.
I know. Can Leicester, Spurs, or Arsenal challenge for the top four? Now, let's start with Leicester City. They just missed out again last year, Rob, on the last day, wasn't it? Fifth last season.
Because of Chelsea. Yeah, Chelsea knocked them out. They got the spot and they finished fifth.
I'll just go through the notable signings of Leicester City. Paterson Daka from RB Leipzig. I like the look of that signing. Babacari Soumaré from Lille.
Yeah,
and Ryan Bertrand, an interesting one, a free transfer from Southampton. Notable departures: Christian Fuchs and Wes Morgan, that weren't really that key to them last season, anyway. What do you think, Rob? What do you think in terms of Leicester's ability to go again?
Good scouting, great manager, great ownership. Three combinations that give you a chance.
Yeah.
Leicester City are the top four plus one, by the way. Anyone doesn't have a consistent season, this team are good enough to be to mix it in there. Now, Europa League football they're going to contend with, so some Thursday, Sunday stuff that they might have to deal with and whether that will affect and where the focus is. But with what they've got, Rob, with the recruitment, with the manager and the options with which he can play and the way that, different ways he can play, They've got a chance. Fofana injury in the preseason is a real blow.
Yeah, but it's a real blow to a guy. Broke his leg.
Yeah, which you know we don't know when we'll see him. It's probably going to be closer to Christmas than before. But yeah, that's a real shame. But Leicester City, Rob, won the title in 2015-16, and it's almost fueled the ambition of the football club. It isn't like we've won the title. Oh, that's it. It's like this team just want to keep going and going. And I think, they'll be in and around that top four.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to challenge this year for top four, Rob. I think, given what we've just talked about, that four is pretty strong that we've just had in the last question there. And I think they've all upped their game, upped their squad. Mm. I think Leicester fans might be a little nervous that James Maddison doesn't go. Because there's talk about him,
a
big target of Arsenal.
Yeah.
I think we talked earlier, Rob, about the importance of a good start. I looked at the injury list for Leicester already. We know about Wesley Fofana; it's going to be out for a long time. Still, John Evans is out. James Justin is out, Rob. Timothy Castagna is out. You know, that's a lot of defenders on the injured list straight away. So I don't fear for them, but I just don't think we're going to see them pushing as hard as they did the last couple of seasons, given the others. And, you know, the thing that Patson Daka is interesting.
Yeah,
he's a young, hungry. Yeah. I think he was the Austrian Bundesliga player of the year.
Yeah.
27 goals, Robin, 28 appearances or something.
Yeah.
So he's a hot striker that I think is going to be really exciting, and it might just be another Leicester City little find. Well, maybe not find because people know about him, but they're the ones that often buy the players when the other teams wait for the finished article. They go in there and buy him like they did with Fofana and many, many others. So Daka is a reason to be excited for Leicester.
Yeah. I just think, and I hear you, and I get the injuries and whether, you know, the challenges of Europa and not. But I think Brendan's smart. I think players will be coming back. Their injuries, but they don't last forever. Some will take longer than others, but they'll increase. They can get off to a decent start, Rob, and being in around that top six after 5-6 weeks of the season. Yeah. I just think they're okay. I think there's a mentality of that football club that I like. That, you know, we're gonna burst into this top four. You know, Arsenal and Tottenham, you know, you can stay down there. We're now the new breed.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because that's the other two teams that we're talking about in this question, Robin. Who can challenge? Yeah. We talked about Leicester City. Mm. Let's go on to Spurs, Rob, if you're okay with that. Finished seventh last season. Oh, blimey. Where do we start with their summer? Where do we start? There's a lot here, by the way, Rob. The first thing is the manager. And I'm going to go through the names that didn't take the job. Nagelsmann was an early person that they couldn't persuade to come to the football club. Since then, we've had Brendan Rodgers, Antonio Conte, we have Fonseca, we have Gattuso. There was big talk, you know, in the middle of the summer that Pochettino was going to come back to the football club, Rob, and they settle on, a solid choice in Nuno Espirito Santo. Before everything else about players and all that, what do you think to the way the club has handled the manager situation, and what do you think to Nuno for Spurs?
I think you missed out Earl and Musto. Didn't you get the call from Danny Levy to see if we wanted it? Well, I said, to be honest, got another season left in the studio and better let us go. This isn't the big six job how Nuno wanted it. Nuno had to take it. It's like David Moyes being given the Manchester United job. Yeah. You can't refuse it because it might never come around again. But it ain't the way you want it. It ain't in the shape you'd want it. This is a football club, Rob, that, again, this season is going to be fascinating. They could be part of the top six, or they could be 16th in the league. I'm telling you. If Harry Kane goes, they don't spend the money, or Daniel Levy decides with all the money they've lost over the pandemic in the stadium, they hold the money back. This team is very, very different from where they were. There isn't too many players, Rob. I saw something the other day about the Lamella. I think he was the last of the bail money. And it had a list of Spurs players who'd been bought during the bail money and all that. Mm. And every player on there, bar one or two, Rob, you're still thinking, is he any good or not?
Mm.
You don't know. I don't. Spurs players at the moment, there's very few I hang my hat on and say, I'm good with him. He's top six. He's with me.
I think you're being a little bit unfair there. A little bit. I think let's just go through the signings, the transfer business so far. Christian Romero, Rob, and
this reminds me
of something else we've got to mention from Atalanta. Brian Hill from Sevilla that I commentated on for Spain in the Olympic Games. So I've seen plenty of Brian Hill. Notable departures: Lamella, Alderweireld, Danny Rose, Van Foyt went to Villarreal, just playing in the Super Cup there. So that's the player business so far. Yeah. Of course, the Harry Kane thing hangs over the football club. And there's obviously money there that, again, I'll say it again, don't wait just to get an extra few million and then waste the window to bring in replacements. Really difficult for the manager. Mm-hmm. Fabio Paratici. A new director of football into Tottenham Hotspur from Juventus, from just over a decade at Juventus, Rob. And I had a good look at this guy and what he's done there. He did a pretty amazing job at Juventus, Rob, over a long period of time. He hired a unproven Antonio Conte. He brought in an agent, Andrea Pirlo, that did an amazing job. He oversaw the signing of Cristiano Ronaldo. He went and picked up Paul Pogba for free for Man United and sold him back for 100 million euros. He was a big part of their success of getting back to the top of Italian football and getting really long way in European football as well. He's a machine, they call him, a workaholic director of football that never stops trying to improve the squad that he's working for right now. We've already seen the link with Italian football clubs, Romero. And there's somebody else that it's not on my list here, but I know there's another player from Italian football, I think, that he's brought in as well.
Yeah, they've got another Atalanta kid, haven't they, or something.
Yeah, another Atalanta signing.
Gallini, this Pierluigi.
Oh, it's the goalkeeper, yeah. So goalkeeper and a centre-back from Italian football. Yeah. I think you're going to see more of that. And listen, I'm not saying he's going to do the same things at Juventus that he did at Spurs, but if there's going to be £100-odd million, Rob, instead of the list that you just talked about that came in and didn't really do it for Spurs over a long period of time, maybe Paratici has got better contacts and will bring better players in. So there's kind of a lot of doubt about Spurs, Rob, but I just think at least they've got a joke to football now, Rob. Less of Daniel Levy in the market has got to be better for the team. And I think that's going to take time and patience, but let Paratici do his thing with his recruiting and they might pick up some good players.
Listen, I can't deny that it's a good move, director of football, something they needed. They've got to start to understand. But again, Rob, you've got... What do Spurs look like under Nuno? We've seen Spurs under Poch that got to a certain level, played great football, but couldn't get it done. We see football under Jose that's a little bit more pragmatic, holding back, doesn't suit the players, don't seem happy, ends up going. What's new? You know, Nuno at times was very counter-attack based with his Wolves team who sat back. That isn't what Spurs are going to be about, players or fans. And fans are going to be back in the stadium now, and fans will let their voice be heard.
Yeah, I just hope the fans are patient with Nuno, Rob, because I think in terms of that scale, I think Nuno's closer to Jose. We know he's all about discipline and organisation and shape of a side. My main doubt, Rob, with him as a manager is I think we know that some of the players in his dressing room can be a little bit flashy, a little bit big time. Are they going to respect Nuno enough, Rob, to do stuff they don't really want to do in a defensive side of things? It looks like Dele Alli is back in the good books. He's played, I see he played in the last game in pre-season before the season starts the weekend. So maybe, you know, and Heung-min Son has been scoring goals for fun in pre-season, playing as a centre forward. So, I you know, it's still got some decent players there. I know you went...
By the way, Harry Kane could well be playing. There's talk that he could start against Manchester City the weekend.
I know. So I just hope he gets time, Rob, and patience, because it is.
It's going to be an interesting one. Really interesting watch this season. Tottenham, Nuno and Harry Kane and the rest of the story. Let's talk about the other North London club, Rob, because the other team I think it's a really huge season for is Arsenal and Mikel Arteta. I think we've said over the period that, you know, people were saying that, you know, he got a certain pass or, you know, COVID and what he inherited and what he's bought. But I think he starts being judged on more of his group now. Starts being judged a little bit more now. Ben White is a big move. It's a little pricey, but I think it's good business. I like him. I think he adds something, got good personality, great athlete. Can play in a number of positions, but I'd like to see him at centre-back ideally.
Good on the ball, Rob. Great on the ball.
Yeah, can play. We'll start the play off at the back, which we know Arteta likes. And see, in a strange way, I was a little bit more the other way, maybe where you're giving a little bit more leeway to Spurs. I think Arsenal, I was thinking about it, Rob, and I thought, you've got Saka, Smith-Rowe, you've got Tierney, who's just signed a new contract, you've got this Martinelli, Tavares has come in, apparently a left-sided player who can maybe allow Tierney to come in. You've got Ben White, you've got a lot of sort of 23, 24. Then I mix that with Aubameyang, Lacazette, Pepe. You've got 33 goals between them. Granit Xhaka looks like he's in. It could be a mix of good and old and younger and experienced and not that might just give Arsenal more of a chance than people say. I think they had a great run at the end of the season. I think won the last five games.
Yeah, which
people didn't really pick up on. And I know they ended up finishing eighth, but the second half of the season, Rob, was much better for Arsenal.
Yeah, it was a sneaky good. It was a good second half of the season, Rob. I think we did a graphic in the studio of they were the top three from January or something like that. They aren't anywhere near finished yet, but they did improve a lot towards the second half of the season. Albert Lokonga, midfield player from Anderlecht, recommended by Vincent Kompany, the manager of Anderlecht. And I looked at some clips of him, Rob, in pre-season for Arsenal.
21, isn't he? Yeah.
And he looks like he can play a little bit. Central midfield player, tries to find the little forward passes. It looks pretty good. Again, youngster. So, Ben White, 23, isn't he? Tavares, young. So, I kind of like the way they're going here, Rob, because I think it's proving that, you know, unless you've got crazy flipping rich owners or states or whatever running your teams, it's going to be really hard to kind of match that in the transfer market. So, they're going for good young players that might do their thing. No European football, the manager said, is going to help them on the training ground.
Yeah, a bit of a focus.
Arteta, he's definitely said that. I just think from now, Rob, and Stan Kroenke and that group that runs the club and owns the club, I think we said that they need to show us the money or show Arsenal fans the money. There's been a little bit of that. And Ben White, and there needs to be a bit more, Rob. They need, you know, Odegaard looks like he could, not sure he's going to come back.
No.
Tobias is a... I know Smith Rowe can play number 10, and I know Lacazette and Aubameyang. I feel they need another attacking player, Rob, and this is going to be...
Talk about Madison, Anthony. There's been a lot of talk about Madison possibly, and that's a kind of... And I get the profile, a little bit less money, a little bit younger, you're taking a bit of a gamble, you know, category B, but we're going to develop him. And I think that's exciting for Arsenal fans to see that kind of player, but they have got to make steps, and I think the free pass is kind of up for Mikel Arteta. I think he's got to start to stand by what his plan is and what he starts to do with this team.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm quite so definitive yet, Rob. I still feel he's in the middle of this transition. And I think the improvement of the second half of the season, some young players have come in. I don't think it's like, well, you've got to be, you know, you've got to be knocking on the door.
No, I'm not saying they've got to be knocking on the door. But I think we've got to start seeing the progression, the consistency. We've got to start... Seeing that, you know, you go back to Jurgen Klopp in the early days, you know, lost finals and work his way. But you saw development of a football club towards something. I think that's what we've got to see with Mikel Arteta, the progression towards getting back to challenging and being in Europe.
And also, just finally for me on Arsenal, Rob, a couple of players that, you know, we talk about the young players and developing areas of this team. Aubameyang's got to get back to his best, Rob. He's got to get back to 22 that goals. And I would say as well, a player that I haven't always appreciated, Nicola Pepe. Yeah. I thought he showed more signs in the last kind of dozen games of the Premier League season of what he can do.
If Aubameyang 10 goals he got best, in the end, Rob. Yeah. He's done 10 goals. Yeah. Goals.
And if Pepe can work on that, again, a young player, Pepe, then there could be some better times ahead for Arsenal. Yeah. But, tough job, but I think it's looking all right.
The experienced players have to help some of these kids come through in this transition, and if so, you know, could be better times ahead for Arsenal. So we went back to our friends, PointsBet Sportsbook, and asked them about odds of any of these teams breaking into the top four. So we're talking about Arsenal, Leicester and Tottenham, and this was how they saw it. Arsenal at plus 450, Leicester at plus 450, Spurs just outside that, plus 500. So they see Arsenal and Leicester with a better chance of breaking that top four than Spurs, but there isn't an awful lot in it from either side.
And I'm struggling to see who I put my money on.
I tend to go Leicester.
I don't know. Leicester. Yeah, but just Arsenal.
Manager, depth of player. Possibly more on top. Listen, it's not an easy one. And certainly, you know, both those big North London clubs have got to establish themselves again. And Rob, one of my notes with Arsenal and Spurs are, you've got to be careful about keep saying big six. You don't look and feel like a big six team at the moment.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters,
both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Question number three, Robbie, let's move it on. Which club are you most excited for outside the big seven? I guess we're including Leicester in that and the six that you've talked about. So others, really, Rob, again, a little bit down the league now. Which club, given what's happened in the summer, are you excited about?
Excited about what Leeds United look like on the second season. Excited. Yeah. As ever, we started doing a bit of research, did a bit of reading. So, Marcel Bielsa was unable to travel back to Argentina through COVID. So, apparently, he spent every day in the training ground working on new systems of play, players' prevention of injuries, fitness, and nutrition. Apparently, he's had all his staff in, he's had all these people, that's all he's been doing. This guy is just is an anorak around football. So, I'm looking forward to what Leeds can become. There's absolutely no doubt the second season syndrome. I think knowing what they know, he said a brilliant thing that is just total Bielsa, which I thought summed him up, where he said, it's interesting that people said, we're not going to be the surprise package. We're going to know, people are going to know about them. Mm. He said, we know more about the opposition than we did before.
Yeah.
And we'll know how to hurt them as well, which is just typical brilliant Bielsa.
Just a few facts and figures, Rob, for them. Signings, they've secured the signing, permanent signing of Jack Harrison. Junior Firpo from Barcelona, left back.
Yeah,
excited.
Left back, yeah.
Really good pickup. Alioski's left, I think, and Pablo Hernandez is left.
Yeah, he's going to.
A couple of other things on them. There's a new pitch been installed, Rob. One of the newer, the hybrid pitches with the synthetic and the grass, I think, because they had a problem, didn't they? They had to relay their grass field.
Yeah, during the season, yeah.
And we have to mention Saturday, 7:30 Eastern time, they play Man United, Rob, at Old Trafford. Now, again, people might not know some of our, like, the rivalry between these two sets of fans. Man United and Leeds hate each other. And, of course, fans back this season, you know, you haven't seen anything yet until you've seen the game at Ellen Road. Again, I think this is at Old Trafford.
But yeah, so Leeds Old Trafford, United,
having fans back at Ellen Road, people will start to see on our broadcast, Rob, what Leeds United is all about,
and what passionately
followed club it is with that fan base.
And let's not forget, last season United ran all over and beat them 6-2. Do you remember at Old Trafford? One of the great days, and then they ran them out of midfield and created spaces. And
they did really well.
Ain't going to let that happen again.
And so they've got to be ready. United have to be the same, Rob.
Yeah.
Leeds will be ready.
Revved up and ready to go. So that excites me. Have you got one in there that excites you or interests you?
I think that's probably the pick, Rob. I'm looking at West Ham United, right, as the next team to look at. Finished sixth last season, and I'd love to be excited for them, but I just think it's going to be a tougher year this year, Rob. Jesse Lingard doesn't look at the moment that he's going to be going back, though that, of course, could change in the transfer window. So no Jesse Lingard that come on and did a great job for them. I mean, in terms of signings, nothing. Areola, goalkeeper, on loan from PSG. Fabio Balbuena left as well, looks like, from West Ham United. Devon Moyes signed a new 3-year contract.
Yeah.
Totally deserved of what they've done. Mm. Just a quick question, Rob, to throw it back to you, is like, fans back in the stadium, has David Moyes now earned the respect? Is he going to get a warm reception?
I think so, mate. I've got West Ham friends who were fans who were always a little bit reluctant to praise or a little bit reluctant to open up to them. But I think he's in respect. I think through the pandemic, I think the way he's handled himself, the way he's united that football club through a difficult time, from ownership through to players, through to staff, through to performances, I think he's earned the right. Now, I think they'll get behind him. I think it'd be good for him. And it'd be good for him to hear that and feel that real West Ham love, because it's a special club and they're a great set of fans when they get behind the team.
Is there any part of you, and there is a part of me, I've got to be honest, that even after that, if they don't get off to a great start and their football doesn't quite roll the same, could it turn a little bit? Or am I just being a nasty
flipping? I see the glass being half full, and I see that there's a consistency, there's a work rate, there's some data points that you know are going to happen with West Ham. It didn't happen before, which David Moyes installed at Everton, which you kind of know now what West Ham, you know a bit more what West Ham are going to be. They could do with a striker for sure. I mean, they're doing all this, you know, Antonio 10 goals, Suchet 10 goals. Could do with a striker. They let go and didn't bring anybody in. Mm. If they could bring a striker in there, and then with all what they get, Benrahma and Bowen and people around, they could
Antonio.
Talk about Zuma possibly coming in late on. So I'm still positive on David Moyes. In Moyesy we trust. Quick line on Everton, mate, because Rafa Benitez and Everton. Mm. Is that a match made in heaven?
Hang on a minute. Carlo Ancelotti. What, that was the quickest exit ever, wasn't it? Have we spoke to our listeners before? I mean, that happened really quick.
I mean, I was assuming Ancelotti. I think everybody felt this is a long-term appointment. He's building something at the football club. You know, the new stadium's coming. He's going to be part of the whole growth. And then Real Madrid came along, smiled and winked, and off he popped.
All right, choice of Rafa Benitez, controversial Robbio. We all know about his status at Liverpool Football Club, the red part of Liverpool, and he's kind of a legend there, really. Mm. There is going to be a section of fans that will never accept this.
No.
I'm going to say this. I think it's a good appointment. And I think given time, given patience, and given a good start...
Will he get patience? No will credit. He get time and patience?
No, he won't. He's got no credit. Mm. Get that. Yeah. That's why I'm saying it kind of needs a decent start. I just think
he's been absolutely.
He's done well before with big clubs that not always, but for the most part. And it's not. He possibly isn't going to be a popular appointment. I just think he could do well. He'll get some money from Shearing.
The start is key for Rafa. If he can get a half decent start and get in and around 7th, 8th or something and be around it, I think he'll get, as you say, the time to develop it, and they'll be difficult to play against. They'll be well drilled, and there's forward players who can play there. If he gets off to a bad start, Rob, four or five games. I mean, they finished terribly, by the way, Everton, and they've not had a brilliant pre-season either. Yeah. I've heard. I mean,
I just think they need some structure
nasty quickly.
Think he's going to give a structure. I mean, I know the football's going to be a little bit more pragmatic, but again, Everton fans, just bear with it, because again, I think he could do a pretty good job. All right, Rob, let's move on. By the way, we've got to apologise. We can't hit every single club.
No, there's a bit of filler in there. What they're going to be like about Grealish and Buendia and Ings and Bailey in. Could be exciting, I think, for Villa. You know, by the way, I don't think it's doom and gloom just because Jack's gone.
Good way of replacing his attributes.
Yeah,
also with Danny Ings, and you got the creativity of Buendia and Leon Bailey. It's exciting wide player. So that's the way to use the money. Mm. And between those players, they can hopefully get the numbers and the production that Jack Grealish gave them. But all right, question number four, my friend, is which club or clubs are you most interested in the bottom half of the Premier League? The others, mate. The other others.
The others. My go-to has to be Brentford Football Club, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of, I think last season when Leeds were coming up, I felt Leeds will bring something to the Premier League. Brentford, my friend, will bring something to the Premier League. They got a bit of a cray-cray manager, to be honest, Thomas Frank. He's all out there, tells it as it is. They play an aggressive way of football. They've got a passionate way of doing it. They're built on stats and data. They've got a fascinating kind of backroom staff and coaching staff and setup.
And the owner
was a former gambler who looks at numbers and stats. I mean, it's a brilliant story.
Yeah.
And the one thing I'll say, Rob, is they'll bring something to the Premier League. And I'm going to put it out there now. Some of their players will be suited to the Premier League, and they will not go. They will not be relegated.
Mm. Yeah, I tend to agree on the euphoria of that brand new little stadium, Rob, and what that means. I've been there. I've been in a team that got promoted into a new stadium. The excitement, it absolutely drives you. It drove us to Christmas. and we end up having a good season. In fact, we tanked in the second half of the season, but we stayed up. So I think it's a really good story, Rob. Other than that, you know, I think the story of some of these clubs is worry. It's worry. And I don't want to be dooming. I know. Well, let me throw some names at you. One of them needs a bit more chat. Southampton. Losing Danny Ings.
In Ralph we trust. Come on, Ralph.
Oh, Danny Ings has gone. It looks like Vestergaard. Yeah. I watched on the wires the news today. He could be going as well. I think they could be in danger, Rob, of staying in the division. Now, they've got Adam Armstrong, isn't it? They've brought a new striker from the Championship.
Yeah, they bought from Blackburn. Yeah, scored goals at Blackburn. Got a lot of goals, actually, yeah.
So that's the guy that needs to... Adams needs to score more goals he got last year. So worry about them. And, Crystal Palace, Rob. I'm going to let you get going on Crystal Palace.
Patrick Vieira. Vieira.
Gosh.
So, what we've done from... What Palace have done is gone from secure... solid, know what we're going to get, Roy Hodgson, to star appeal, young, bright coach who is going to bring something different and is going to want the ball, wants possession of the ball, wants to keep it, wants to build it, wants to give a platform for the players to express themselves. The total opposite of what Roy Hodgson was about. I'm thinking and hearing, and then, you know, I've got a couple of friends at Palace. I mean, good things from the training, good reports from what the players are feeling back. I'm in Patrick Scan.
Oh yeah, isn't this a very big gamble? And other people that I haven't got, I think it was Nuno very close to agreeing it.
Yeah, it was Nuno.
Lucien Favre was very close and walked away at the last moment.
Down, yeah.
Another one, you know, a little bit like Nuno at Spurs, like, all right, then who are we going to get? Patrick Vieira. Too many changes, Rob. Different manager, different style of play, and tons of different players. The steady
Eddie. That was going to happen anyway, wasn't it? All the players and the other things.
All I'm saying, are you okay with your manager changing, the style changing, and those players changing?
The manager was going to change. Roy was done from the end of last season. I think last 4 or 5 games, I think it was almost being put out there. So I think the point for me, Rob, it's whether, you know, was an Eddie Howe a better choice? Was the Sean Dyche going to try and get one of them a better choice? Somebody who's been in the league, knows the league, has won the league. You know, been Patrick, who in fairness has been at Nice and got sacked, you know, been in over in New York, did a good job.
But,
you know, is he going to inspire some of these players, the Eze's, the Will Sahas, and some of the young talent? I think he's got this Elise kid in. Connor thingy from Chelsea.
So is
Patrick one of them who can inspire? You know, Christian Benteke. Can he get something more out of them than some of the others? I think it's interesting. I think it's a challenge for Patrick, but I think it's a good challenge. I mean, one that he should be embracing and one that he needs to do well as well. I'll look at it, and his reputation's on the line here, by the way.
Yep. Legendary
player, but now are you going to be a top-class manager?
Wolves, Bruno Lage, Portuguese manager, follows Nuno Espirito Santo. I think their first game was against Spurs, or second game, or maybe the first game. Again, I'm a little worried about them. Raul Jimenez, of course, we know is a top-class, a really, really good level Premier League striker. We know about his fractured skull. He's been playing pre-season, Rob. We all pray that he gets back. If he gets back and he gets back to his best of scoring goals, Adama Traore.
That's a gift.
Yeah, it's a gift. And Traore, if he stays, which is a bit of talk about him leaving, they should be okay. But that, again, like Southampton, like Crystal Palace, you know, there's quite a few teams that,
Will the Ginger Mourinho steer them to today?
Well, you know what, Rob?
They're a bit slim this year. There's not a lot going on at the moment.
I tipped them for relegation last year, and they proved me wrong just about. Didn't have a great season.
They had a bad run.
Yeah. I'm just in prepping for this weekend, Rob. I've just gone through their last couple of lineups, and it's the same team.
Yeah.
And everybody's playing again.
4-2, isn't it? Yeah.
So, you know, I think Ben Mee and Tarkowski weren't fit and they had a terrible start. So, for that reason, and because Chris Wood, he gets his 12 goals, I think they're going to be okay again. But I'm like, they shouldn't be. They're all like 20. I think there's 15 of the squad, Rob, and I haven't got my exact notes with me. 15 of the squad are 29 or older. It's a really old group. Yeah. That keep
but it's know-how in it. Yeah, it's know-how. It's just know-how and getting enough to 40 points. They'll start the season, which somebody said, it's their fifth season, I think, the fifth season in the league now on the bounce. The first thing they say is 40 points. They can't get away from that 40 points. You know, and that's going to be the challenge. But as you say, Newcastle, I'm feeling a bit more comfortable about Newcastle. I think they'll be okay. I think Steve Bruce got over the worst. Willock coming in is a decent signing. Callum Wilson being fit, I think, is a big bonus. And obviously, the promoted teams, Norwich and Watford, is always a challenge, isn't it? It's always a challenge.
Particularly for Norwich, you know, I think they've done a little bit more on the transfer market, Rob. But again, their philosophy is, and we'll keep saying it because it's an amazing quote. Stuart Webber, the director of football, said of Norwich, we aim to be in the top 24 teams in England. So basically, in the Premier League.
I hate that saying.
Or in the top four of the Championship, as if like, that's okay. And I get it.
It's okay. I wouldn't want to be associated with a club if that's the thing for me, Rob. I want to be in the top 20.
Yeah.
Top 20. And Watford, we'll see. I mean, Watford have been up and down and accept it if they do. Munoz, who's in charge there, plays a slightly different system, I believe, because they'll be away from the 4-4-2. They didn't have Troy Deeney a lot last season. Apparently, some good young players have been bought through, as we know, with that football club, and Ismail Assar is still involved. Yeah. So, I think they can have their days. It's whether they can have enough of those good days. Can they put their, what Steve Bruce wants to tell us, 10 wins and 10 draws keeps you in the league?
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting. I looked again, Rob, at their transfers in. I mean, there's so many. They've signed like 10. They've signed a ton of players. This Cisco Munoz is. I watched an interview towards the end of last season. What a lovely, lovely bloke he is, and he's really, really popular at the football club with the fans, with the players. He's just one of them that. In fact, I think about it, Rob. The three promoted managers. I don't think you'll ever have a nicer three guys. Thomas Frank at Brentford. You know, Daniel Farke is the loveliest guy in the world. And I think Cisco is the same thing at Watford. So, yeah, it's really hard.
Does lovely keep you off, Robbie?
I don't care. They're lovely guys. And
you were saying Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a lovely guy.
Well, this is a different area of the league table.
Going back to listen, let's get to the odds to relegation, because obviously this is you know, what top end of the table is always important, but that bottom three is a lifeline. And it goes like this, my friend. Norwich, -112. Watford, +100. Brentford, +110. Oh. Palace, +175. Wow. Burnley, +240, and Sean Dyche, which just no chance. Newcastle, +270. Wolves, +450.
Yeah.
Southampton, +450. Mm-hmm. Brighton, +650.
Yeah.
Villa, +700. Villa, down. Leeds, +1,000. West Ham, +1,000. So, it's circling around. Norwich at -112. Watford, +100. Brentford, +110. Palace, +175, and Burnley probably +240.
Points bet. Our partner's points bet. Not feeling your Patrick Vieira love, mate. Not feeling that.
They're going to be embarrassed by that, by the way. They'll be embarrassed. Wow. Believe me. Brentford +110. No chance they are now. No chance.
Brighton at +650 is worth a little couple of dollars. Southampton at +450, probably worth a couple of dollars.
Graham Potter is the best English coach in the country, said Pep Guardiola.
Oh, blimey.
They're not going down.
Oh, okay, so there's your odds for relegation. Final question, Rob, and it's a lovely question. How important will the return of the fans be this season, my friend? How much are we looking forward to this?
It is everything, mate. I mean, we have seen 18 months, and there's been 8 months of great work by the Premier League to get the games on, to finish seasons, to get trophies, to, you know, get all the European positions and that. It's been a brilliant job to get it on without no fans in the stadium.
Yeah.
But it's not been the real deal. It's not been Premier League football as we know, Rob, as we've played, as we've watched, as we've been to games, as we've seen. And just getting those fans back in there brings all the emotion, all the reaction, anticipation, noise, all the things that make football unique. You play Manchester United against Leeds, there's hatred between the two clubs, the Red Rose and the White Rose, and they've had this history going on. And without fans, it's something you talk about. With fans, I guarantee you, you will see it this week on Saturday. You will see it in the set of fans at the ground.
And how that affects the players, Rob. Mm. So you, this same fixture without fans, they don't. This foreign players, they don't understand it, but the fans make them understand it.
Yeah.
And when you've got whatever is going to be thousands, 40, 50, 60, 70,000 people streaming, then they're going to know about it. So you're going to see different games, different level of intensity with fans there. Just the sounds, the singing, the reaction we get in the when you see the camera shots with the fans, etc. The celebration from players towards the fans. In some ways, it's not a great part of the game, Rob, but the stick, the booing of managers,
the challenges, the fouls, the red cards, the off,
the pressure on referees, everything. Throw it all into the mix.
VAR.
Yeah, a few changes there, which I think are going to make it better. Anyway, mate, we can't go on forever.
Looking forward to it. So, well, good thing is, mate, we're back. 48 hours to a big kickoff. Brentford hosting Arsenal on Friday night special. Look out for our next podcast. That's going to be on Sunday, August the 15th, when we'll have a full and detailed recap of all the opening matches from the weekend. So, it's just two sleeps to go. So, we'll see you at the weekend. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Must Go, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe. Stay healthy. It is good to be back, my friend. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.